Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
Isn't today a good day? How many of you think today is a good day? All right. All right. Several years ago, a friend of mine referred me to an article that he had found. And the article was called Lessons Learned from a Crash Site. Now, the lessons that were learned were from a team of analysts that every time there was a plane crash, that this group of people would be flown to the site and they would investigate why the plane crashed, how it crashed, the damage done to the vehicle, and all of that type thing. They wanted to find out what happened, why it happened, what could be learned, and it talked about multiple different scenarios within a plane crash. The first scenario it talked about was kind of the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario is this, that no one survived the crash. Because of the speed of the crash, because of the angle of impact, because of the damage done to the cockpit and to the fuselage, that no one survived, worst case scenario. And then it talked about the best case scenarios where there was a wreck and people were able to walk away. They got out for whatever reason. Many, most, or all of them survived the plane crash. And then there was the third scenario in which it talked about, and this scenario was really where they had the opportunity to get out, where there was a crash and passengers had the ability or the opportunity to get out. And surprisingly, even though they had the opportunity to make it out of the plane, many, most, or all the passengers didn't actually make it to safety. But the question was, why? Why did they not make it to safety? The passengers all got adequate instructions from the flight attendants. Now, if you're like me, once the flight attendant starts talking, you've already got your earbuds in, you're already listening to music, you're not really listening to the flight attendant. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Many times by the time she's done talking, I'm asleep already. I mean, I crash out on airplanes. But when they get adequate direction to where if there is an accident, then you go to the nearest exit. It might be in front of you, it might be beside you, it might be behind you, but they get clear instruction on how to position themselves to most likely survive impact. They get the appropriate instructions on how to do the oxygen mask, that you put it on yourself first and you take care of the person beside you, and that they also tell them that you can't take anything with you in case of an accident. Now, when there actually becomes an emergency, there becomes a second set of instructions that you get. The second set of instructions, if there's actually trouble on the plane, everybody listens to. You are highly engaged when they begin to tell you, buckle your seatbelt, grab your knees. If you go into water, this seat will become a flotation device. And then once again, they tell you if there's any accident, you can't take anything with you to exit the plane. Don't grab your purse. Don't grab your laptop. Don't grab your carry-on. Don't grab your backpack. Don't grab anything. Just exit the plane as quickly as possible. But the article goes on and begins to tell the stories of when the analyst team would come in and investigate the plane crash where people could have survived. They found the most horrific discovery was this, is that the exits were blocked because as people tried to exit the plane, they were bringing their luggage with them. And as they would get to the exit, they would realize they can't get it out the door. It's crowded. People are trying to exit. And they would just drop their luggage right there. And soon one person drops it and two people drop it and 12 people drop it. And soon, pretty soon, there's enough luggage that people begin to stumble and fall and the plane is engulfed in flames or water or whatever. And that people die simply because they carried their baggage with them. They couldn't leave their baggage behind. Look, today, here's my encouragement to you. Don't carry your baggage with you. Once you have found forgiveness through God, then you at that point can let loose of your baggage and forgive yourself. The things where you look back on your life and you go, oh man, come on. The things where you look back and you cringe, those dumb, regrettable, bad choices that you made, once you have found forgiveness in the Father, you can forgive yourself. I love what the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 3. Now, Paul is the guy who imprisoned people simply for being believers in Jesus Christ. Paul is the guy who commissioned people to be beaten because they attended a church service. Paul is the same guy who ordered the execution of a man or men, multiple men, simply because they taught the scriptures and they taught about the life of Jesus Christ. This is the Paul that wrote this now in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says this, "Brothers, I don't count myself to have apprehended this. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, those things and reaching forward to the things that are ahead." In the Old Testament, the psalmist says this in Psalms 38:4. He says, "My guilt, what? It overwhelms me. The burden is too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and they stink." Now, that's just gross, right? Have you ever noticed that parts of the Bible, they don't mince words? He just says it. "My wounds fester and stink." That's just disgusting. But why? Because of my foolish sins, because of the dumb, regrettable, bad choices that I make, I'm exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from what? From an anguished heart. I want to ask you today, are you still carrying baggage that is keeping you from receiving God's best for your life? Are you still carrying regret of the former things that is causing you to miss out on the joy in today? And let me say it just the easiest way possible. Is the past really the past for you today? God has forgiven your past. When you call out to Him, when you say, "Father, forgive me, I ask that your Son in Christ, I put my faith in Him," that when you go to God for forgiveness, He forgives you, He's moved on, and I want to ask you, have you forgiven yourself? God's not thinking about it. Are you? And there are really two types of baggage. If we're talking about baggage and we're talking about things that we're holding in and that we're carrying with us on this journey, there's really two types that we carry with us oftentimes. Guilt and shame. Now, oftentimes we want to put those as the same. Guilt and shame together, one or the other, on top of each other, but they're really very separate. Now, guilt is this. Guilt is that we feel bad and we're carrying guilt about the things that we've done or the things that we didn't do. Maybe it was something as simple as a lie that you told, something as basic as that. Or maybe it was with family, it was something more serious and it was conflict and it was a battle. Maybe it was in a relationship and you cheated. Or maybe it was something, "I should have said this in this moment, but I didn't. I should have done this in this moment, but I didn't. And now it's been forgiven and God has forgiven it. And maybe it's a bad decision, but God's forgiven it, but we're still carrying it. In your past, it's gone. God has forgiven, but you haven't." And sometimes in our minds and our hearts, it goes from that I've done a bad thing to I'm a bad person. I've done a bunch of mistakes. I am nothing but one big perpetual mistake that I am just... When really the Bible says that once you've been forgiven, we say that we're a sinner saved by grace, but really the Bible says that you're no longer that old creation. You now are a saint, a follower of Christ, that you are redeemed, and you don't carry that guilt any longer. But the other is this, is that we carry shame. And shame isn't the things that we've done. Shame is the things that were done to us. Shame is the things that maybe we didn't have any control over, or we didn't have any control over, we didn't have any say in. And sometimes we start thinking, well, maybe I deserve that. And we begin to carry that with us. Maybe it was words spoken over you, that things that you now begin to believe, that maybe those things that were said to me over and over were right. Maybe something terrible that was done to you. And you carry shame from that when it was never your fault. And at times we are limited by our shame because we simply stop moving forward because we're ashamed of what happened in our past and we're missing out on something caused by something that was not our fault, that we have to give that to God as well. Here's literally what I want to say is the guilt in our life, the things we've done, the things that we did not do, the things we said or didn't say, the guilt in our lives, things our fault, the shame in our life, the things not our fault, we literally have to offer those to God and say, Lord, I need you to take those so that I can have healing in my life. In fact, the Bible says this in Psalms 147. It says that God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Now, we're a church that believe that God still does physical healing. We believe that God still heals. In fact, just a few weeks ago, a woman, a first-time guest, comes and we had anemia. And then, man, we prayed for her in the altar and literally she was healed and she has the doctor's documentation showing the week before, the week after, and she's no longer having to have treatment. Right? So we believe that God heals the body. Now, why would he not also heal the heart? He binds up the wounds. He binds the brokenhearted, or heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In Psalms 103, it says this, that he takes our sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west, and that we no longer remembers our transgressions. That's huge. That's huge. That God has forgiven you, and now we forgive ourselves. Now, maybe, just maybe, your parents always brought up your past. Did you have a parent like that? That they wouldn't bring it up and suddenly you blow it, you do something dumb, and they're saying, I knew it. It's just like when you were in second grade and now you're in college. I knew it. You never do this. And maybe our parents, or maybe you parent like that. I hope not, by the grace of God. But maybe you do that and you parent that. But I want to say this. That is not how God does it at all. That he doesn't qualify and say this, that I forgive you, David, until you blow it again. And then I'm pulling that trump card out, slapping it on the table and saying, look, I told you so. It's not how God does it. Once he has forgiven you, once you have called out to the Lord and found forgiveness within him, it is dealt with, it is done conclusively. Over, forgotten, forgiven, cleansed is how God operates in our lives. And I want to tell you this, walk in the peace of God and don't let your past be the defining feature of your life. I want to say that again. Do not let your past be the defining feature of your life. In Roman times, they had multiple forms of gruesome punishment. We know the cross was a brutal way of capital punishment. They had multiple other ways. One is if you were murdered someone, what they would do is they would connect you to that person. They would take that person, strap it to you, arm to arm, chest to chest, face to face, torso to torso, leg to leg, and they would bind you to that. And that ultimately, you know what a dead body does. It begins to decay. That infection and decay goes into you, and ultimately you die this gruesome death, and it was to be a preventative of violent crimes. In fact, Paul says, who can loose me from this body of death? What's he talking about? He's referring to a cultural thing that happened, and they understood it in that time. They also did something in where they would, once you had served your time for a crime, they would put a metal plate that you had to wear on your chest, and it had the title of your crime, thief. And once you had served your time, there's a line through it showing that you are now free to be in society again. So you're forgiven, but do you feel forgiven? You feel like everyone's looking at you. You feel like everyone's judging you. You feel like everyone is talking about you behind your back. Here's what I want to say to you today in this room. I want to encourage you with this. Drop the metal plate from your chest. Drop the guilt, drop the shame, and live in the freedom of God's presence, because once you are forgiven conclusively, done, it's dealt with. Forgive yourself as God has forgiven you. Don't identify yourself with your past any longer. So how do we make that shift? This sounds great. It sounds super encouraging, right, Todd? This sounds awesome, but how then do we operate that way? How do we go in life and we've forgiven ourselves, we've called out to God for forgiveness, and now we literally forgive ourselves? If you're taking notes today, I want you to follow along and write this down. Number one is, how do we live forgiven? First of all, we follow the author's example. We follow Paul's example. The key text we're operating out of today, again, is Philippians 3. And he says this, "Brothers, I don't count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead." Guys, there are things in my life that I can never do, I can never achieve if I don't get rid of the past, get rid of the shame, get rid of the guilt that I feel. There are things that I will never be able to fully accomplish in life if I don't move beyond those things. There's so much that God still has for my life that I will never do if I don't figure out how to biblically forgive myself. In the same way, God has a plan for your life and a purpose for your life. He has a journey that he wants you to go on, and that until you learn how to biblically forgive yourself, you will never accomplish those things that he has for you and enjoy the blessings of those things. See, Paul learned to forget his past. Many that we try to forget and we try to move on, but we can't stop cringing every time it comes up in the memory of our minds. That we can't stop feeling the guilt and saying, "Oh man, come on, that was so dumb." That we have to learn from it. And that when you have learned how to forget, when you have learned how to move on, well, how you know is that point is when it no longer haunts you, when it no longer shapes you, but you've learned from it and you can move on. You can talk about it and say, "This is what happened, and I'm going to move on from this point forward." That's how you know that you've forgotten, because God doesn't want us controlled by our past or living in the past. Listen to this verse. This is a great verse. In fact, this is an incredibly promising verse for your life, for my life, for us today. It says this in Psalms 118. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Guys, you know that this is one of my favorite verses. Today is a good day, right? So he says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it," in what? This day, "and be glad in it." So it's not talking about yesterday or last week or last month or the good old days. It's talking about today, right now. Guys, this is how God expects his family, his children, to live. Enjoying, celebrating today. That we will rejoice in today, that's how God wants us to operate in our lives. That we'll enjoy the relationship with him. We'll excel in the opportunities that he has given us. We will embrace the blessings that he's offered to us. And we'll enjoy who we are in Christ. That's how God wants us to live. Because yesterday can never distort what God wants to do in you today. Okay, let's get the elephant out of the room. How many of you in here have massive mistakes that you wish no one ever knew about? Come on, raise them up high. Basically every hand. And until we learn to biblically forgive ourselves, we will never embrace the joy of today and experience the blessing of today. And until we learn to biblically forgive ourselves, we will never begin to prepare in a healthy way for tomorrow. This is the day the Lord has made. Today, today, today. We've been forgiven by him. Let's forgive ourselves. Isaiah 43 says, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. God is doing something new. The Bible says you are a new creation. The old is past. The new has come. That you are a new creation in him. But the problem is, though, we have come into this relationship and this existence of being a new creation in God, for some, the past is not truly the past. If we're honest, in a room this size, the past is not truly the past. For some, I would never minimize the pain that you felt. I would never minimize the wrong that you suffered. I would never pass over the tragic circumstances in your life, nor would I ever minimize the wrong or horrible or regrettable decisions that you've made that possibly you carry with you. What I'm saying is the past can never dictate your destiny when you've been forgiven by a divine Savior. If we're consumed with this event, or we're consumed with this series, or we're consumed with this thought, or we're consumed with this shame, or we're consumed with this guilt, that we will miss out on the power that God has for us today. We will miss out on his blessings for today. We will miss out on his best life for us today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. All things have become new. And your past is dealt with. It's done. It's conclusively finished. No longer to be brought up. And if we have found forgiveness again in the Savior, we can then learn to forgive ourselves. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you have ever seen an Etch-a-Sketch? Have you ever seen an Etch-a-Sketch and you played with them? How many can draw well on an Etch-a-Sketch? Anybody can draw well? Man, like, there's people that can draw like beautiful art on there. For me, it looks like a two-year-old or a Picasso. I mean, it does. I mean, that's like, that for me was like my masterpiece right there. I mean, isn't that beautiful? Go back to the one before. I wish I could do that, but here's what it comes out. When I work on it, it comes out like that. And I'm like, see, isn't that great? And Tamara's like, what? Did you sneeze when you did that? Were you coughing? What is that? But when you take the Etch-a-Sketch, you know what you do? You take it and you shake it. You begin to do it like that, and it all goes to completely clear. It's gone. No matter what masterpiece or what mess up, it's completely gone. You can't retrieve it. You can't go to the hard drive and find it. It hasn't crashed and you can reboot it. It is gone, clean, clear, forgiven, forgotten, never to be pulled up again. And that's how God deals with our past when we call out to him. And I'm saying today, walk in the power of today and the blessings of today by forgiving yourself, because God has dealt with it, never to retrieve it again. So first of all, we follow Paul's example. And number two is we know our time zones. How do we walk in this forgiving of ourselves and this freedom? We have to know our time zones. You guys know that Brian and Dottie recently had their first baby. In fact, look at him right back there. He's holding Asher. And look at that smile on his face, that proud dad, that glow. And you see Dottie, and she looks at him, and she holds him, and she's like, ah. Oh. She's got all starry eyes. They're in a whole new era of life, a brand new era. And then you take James and Laurie. They just had their third baby, and their eyes aren't starry. They're blurry. I mean, James and Laurie are so thankful for the nursery we have, because they come into church and take a nap every Sunday. Have to have the ushers bump them. James. They're in a whole new era with a third kid. It changes everything. Trust me. When we had the third one, it changed everything. And then we're about to send our second one off to college. Our first one's off in Minneapolis. McKenna's about to go to Texas A&M and be gone. And so, I mean, we're in a whole new era of life. One more baby and it's honeymoon all over again. New era. We need to understand our time zones. I wish y'all could see my daughter's face. Better shut up, Dad. I'm going to come right up there. We're in a whole new time zone. And Paul says it again. I don't consider that I've apprehended it, but I'm forgetting what's behind, reaching towards what's ahead. If you're taking notes today, I want us to capture this. The past is forgetting yesterday. It's forgetting all the areas that we blew it. When we raised our hands a moment ago, it's forgetting the big, regrettable mistakes and the small ones that still gnaw at us a little bit. And when Paul is saying forgetting our past, he is not saying, I don't remember it. I guarantee you, Paul's not saying, I don't remember giving the order to have Stephen stoned. I guarantee you he's not saying, I have fully forgotten that I held the cloaks of all the men as they executed me in the street in front of me. I guarantee you he remembered that. So when he's saying forgetting, he's not saying that you literally don't remember. He's saying the guilt of that no longer controls his life, that we learn from it, but we're not controlled by it because it's been forgiven by God. Second of all, the present, pressing on for today. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are created by God, for God, to do good works for God that he's prepared for us in advance. And then Ephesians 5 basically says that we have to seize the day, redeem the day, to make the most of it. So we're pressing on for the present, for today. Then the future, it's reaching for tomorrow. You see, we have to understand this, that God has great things for our lives. God has great things for our lives. I tell my daughters this, love Jesus with all your heart. Follow Jesus. Love him with all your heart and follow him. And maybe I would tell other students, other teenagers, other young adults in this context today, I would say this, hey, live for God. Make the most of your every day. Make smart decisions so that you don't have regrets tomorrow. In fact, I want to say that to everybody sub 30. Live for God, follow God, make smart decisions today so you don't have regrets for tomorrow. Because God has a plan for our life, a journey for us to live to where we don't have regrets, but we have a journey that we're on following him. Keep moving forward. God's not camping on your past. He can use your past to bring about good in the future, but he's not camping out in your past. Time is a hard thing to manage, right? Both today, managing today, making the most of today, managing time as it flies by, of thinking about our past. Time is an incredibly hard thing to manage. I had the privilege just this week to do a funeral for a family just Friday. And during the ceremony, there was a video honoring the man who had passed. It's a beautiful video, beautiful family. And during the video, a little two-year-old girl comes from the third or fourth row, comes down around the casket, and begins to play with the flowers around the casket. And I'm sitting off the side. The minister sits off the side. He's looking across the auditorium. The family's facing forward. And I was watching this little girl play, and it was so cute. But two things I noticed that stood out to me. One, I remember my daughters when they were two. And it came to my mind just how time flies. I mean, it just like flies. I remember when they were little and we were playing, and now one is in college and we're about to send another. We have the third at the house in high school. Secondly, what I noticed is that kids play in the moment. Mom ran down. She was a little petrified. She took the little girl away. The little girl cried a little bit. But moments later, what's the little girl doing? She's playing again. I mean, have you ever noticed that about kids? Is that kids, they have a moment of tears, but they immediately are back to playing. Listen, children don't mismanage their time with regret. They they began to play again. And so for us, we follow Paul's example. For us, we know our time zones, past, present, and future. And number three, we live in the proper era. You've got to live in the proper era. Kids want to play. They want to play right now. They don't want to wait. They want to play. They want to have fun. They also don't remember that yesterday you took the toy away from them and they had a fit for just a moment. They want to play because they don't remember that. They don't hang on to that. Here's what I want to tell you. Healthy kids live for today. Healthy children live for today. And I want you to understand this. Healthy adults live for today and prepare for the future. Healthy adults are not obsessed with the past, but we live for, we embrace, we enjoy today and all that it offers, and we prepare for the future. Heard a great quote about 10 years ago by a man named Roy Zook. He said, plan as if Jesus is coming back in 10 years, but live as if he's coming back in 10 seconds. Choose life. No regrets. No shame. No guilt. Choose life. Deuteronomy 30 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life, not regret, not sorrow, not pain, not bitterness, not sulking. Choose life. Choose life. There's a cartoon with Charlie Brown and Lucy. Maybe for some of you that's a little too far away, too long ago, but that was prime for me growing up. And he's on a cruise ship and he's wrestling with the deck chair and he can't get it unfolded. And Lucy walks up to him and in her bossy nature walks up and she goes, Charlie Brown, you can put your chair on the back of the boat looking at where you've been. You can put it on the side of the boat looking exactly where you are. Or Charlie Brown, you can put it on the front of the ship looking where you're going. Charlie Brown, how are you going to live your life? And she turns around and walks off. And he pauses for a minute and he says, I can't even get my deck chair open. And for some of us today, it feels like we can't get our deck chair laid out. And could it possibly be because we've yet to forgive ourselves? That we can't even get started on where we're going to place it because we can't get it opened up because of the unforgiveness in our hearts. Don't live your life and rewind. John 8 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are full, you are free indeed. God came to give you, he came to give me full freedom through his Son, Jesus Christ. And forgetting what is behind so that you're not controlled by the past, but you're embracing the blessings of today and preparing for the future in your relationship with him. Last thing, if you're taking notes today, I want you to understand this. You have to understand your personal BC and AD. Now, here's the deal. Some haven't understood that one that we have to repent of sins, of past, of mistakes. We have to repent and get forgiveness. And that once we're forgiven, guys, listen, once you ask God to forgive you and you're moving past that, you don't go back and brag about those days. Did you capture that? Once you move away from that, you don't go back and brag about that. You learn from that, but you move on. Once those days are forgiven, you don't go back and say, hey, weren't those great? No, they were sinful, wrong, bad. But once we have repented, understand that that was before Christ and now after Christ. And Paul gave this distinction in the book of Galatians. He says, but they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted now preaches the faith in which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So let me close with this. I don't know all your past. I don't know all of your history. I don't know your entire story for sure. But I do know your future today. I know that in God there is forgiveness. I know that in God there is hope. I know that in God there is joy. I know, God, that there is healing in our hearts and a binding of the wounds. I know that in him there is hope for the future. So I don't know your story and your past, but I know our future, and it's freedom in him. And as healthy adults, we are enjoying the presence of God today and preparing for the future. And I know that we, as we're healthy in Christ, can truly let the past be the past. And I feel like today some of you want to walk out of here with the backpack off, with the luggage you've been carrying in both hands dropped off, with a little, remember in the 80s, the little workout weight you put on your legs? Little jazzercise outfits and all the, you know, like whatever was that? It was crazy. Those little weights gone. The belt with all the junk we've been holding, drop that off. Freedom in Christ. Freedom from the past. Freedom for the future. The question for us today is this. Are you carrying baggage that blocks you from experiencing God's best? Maybe this way. Is the baggage you're carrying from your past blocking the exit way to freedom in your life? Because if it is, ultimately the analyst says it causes death instead of bringing life when you should be surviving and thriving in the presence of God. Stand with me today. All right, let me tell you how this was supposed to end last night. It was supposed to end where we're celebrate Greg and we're like, man, you are forgiven. You're going to let the past be gone. We're going to celebrate. Everybody claps, pray a prayer, and we walk out on this. Yeah. That's how it was supposed to go. How many of you know what things that in your head isn't always how it goes in reality? Here's how we're going to do it. I feel like that we're supposed to have an altar call saying, I need to forgive myself. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm going to ask our small group leaders, our prayer team, our elders to step up here. Just go ahead and step out, come up quickly. Sometimes forgiving ourselves is harder than forgiving someone else. Because you can't fake that. You can fake forgiving somebody else, because like part of it is, now I come up and embrace you, I hug you, I'm your friend, we go to lunch, and I fake it until I make it, right? That I do the right thing, and it brings about, like in actions, it brings about the right thing in our heart, because right emotions follow right actions, not the other way around. Right actions lead to right emotions. Right actions lead to right emotions. Right actions lead to right emotions. Emotions follow actions. So sometimes forgiving others is easier than forgiving ourselves, because you can fake it until you make it. Forgiving ourselves, we have to lay down in the quiet moments of our lives and deal and remember and live with. Though God's forgiven, we haven't. So here's how we're going to close today. I want to pray. The band's going to worship. You can feel free after we go through the chorus to be dismissed. But if you want someone to pray with you, to say, hey, I need to forgive myself so I can walk in the blessings and the joy that Christ has intended, I want someone to pray with me. You're not going to fake it anymore. We're going to let God make it happen today. Father, today, I believe that you're changing the order of today for a specific reason. that you want to heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds, the wounds that we will never see, the wounds that we will never see played out, the wounds that we will never know about. You want to heal those brokenhearted and bind up the wounds. And today you want to bring freedom from guilt of things we've done and haven't done, said and haven't said. You want to free us from the guilt and the shame of things done to us and spoken over us, for us to never walk in those again, but to walk in freedom, because when you set us free, we're free indeed. When we found forgiveness in the Father, we can then learn to forgive ourselves. And as we forgive ourselves, we walk in healing and wholeness and in the presence of God. Today, I believe that you changed this on purpose because you want us to walk in freedom. In the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.